Well, again, it is a warm welcome, brethren, this afternoon. Lovely to have you all with us again, and we'll continue the Feast of Spiritual Things this afternoon. First on, we'll have Brother Henry Greenhull to give us an address on the warnings and encouragements of Jude, and then there'll be a Bible study. In fact, there'll be two. We'll divide. Brother Ken Furness will take the Bible study in this room. Brother Russell Collins will go next door into the upper room, and the group can divide who would like to go with who. I myself will take the young adults that would like to come with me. We'll go down to a room downstairs, and you can follow me, and we'll have a study on the questions as well. Following that, we've got dinner, and after you've recharged your batteries, then I'd like you to all and welcome you all to come back for a special session tonight. It'll be something a little bit different that will be done. So to begin with this session, I've chosen hymn number 196. That's hymn number 196. Jesus, wherever thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat. Wherever they seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. That's hymn number 196. And now I'll ask Brother David Stone if you'd come and give us the opening prayer for the afternoon session. Brother David,
please. Let us pray. Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this wonderful occasion to be together with those of like precious faith, to bring us to this gathering of sweet fellowship is something that we can take away and keep us for the rest of the year. O Father, we thank thee for your overruling providence in all our affairs of life, and we pray that you will give us wisdom in all matters, whether it be spiritual or temporal. We thank thee, dear Father, for every blessing that we receive, not only at this gathering, but throughout the years. We take for advantage, we take for our consideration all the things that you have promised for us, and as we dwell on them, how it helps us to keep it on the narrow way in a world that is so stressed and evil. We do thank thee for that guiding hand that we ask that you give us each day. So dear Father, we ask that you'll bring a special blessing on the speaker of the book of Jude from thy word this afternoon. We also pray for those that are leading us in the Bible studies that you'll guide their thoughts also. So dear Father, we are so grateful to be together, just even for the fellowship. How wonderful it is. How wonderful it is for dwell together at these occasions. We do thank thee, Father, for the days that we have had, the wonderful spiritual food that we have been blessed with, knowing that where the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered. So, dear Father, we give thanks once again for the very opportunity of being with those of like precious faith, as mentioned, because in this world of trouble, it is something that cannot be bought with money. Thank you, Father, again for every blessing. And as we leave this gathering in our loving hands, we ask that you will continue throughout the day, knowing that where two or three are gathered together, you will be with us. What a blessing this is, and what a privilege it is to have these thoughts in our mind. So, dear Father, we just leave this gathering in thy loving care as we continue to serve thee in the name of that wonderful, loving Son of yours, that unspeakable gift, our beloved Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for all things in his precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother David. And now I'll ask Brother Henry Greenhull if he may come forward and give us his presentations and his research on the warnings and encouragements of Jude. Brother Henry, thank you.
Thank you, Brother Adam, and it's a pleasure to be here with some of my family, and greetings to afternoon, the brothers and sisters and friends and all the young people of all ages. There seems to be a theme running through a lot of the addresses we've had this convention, showing the greatness of God and his plan and his promises, the sureness of his promises and the need of faith in it, and also on the other side of evil and being disobedient and the consequences. And Jude speaks about this in his letter too, as he encouraged those of his days and warned them. Jude has 25 verses, so I have roughly about an in for each verse. It's the last book before the book of Revelation in the New Testament. And Jude is believed to be Thaddeus of Matthew 10, one of the 12 apostles. In verse 1 he says, he is the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. The American Standard Version has, to them in Christ, to them that are called, beloved of God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, he wished mercy, peace and love to be multiplied to them. That is the peace that Jesus said he would leave with his followers, not as the world giveth, and for their hearts not to be troubled or be afraid. John 14:27. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, this common salvation is the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham to bless all the families of the earth, the message that was given by the angel at Jesus' birth. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Luke 2, verse 10. This showed the mercy and love of the common salvation. Jude continues, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Some other translations have to fight or struggle vigorously in defence of the faith, which for all has been entrusted to the saints. What is this faith which was once delivered to the saints? Jesus said, he is the way, but no man could come to him except the Father called him. John 6:44 and 65. Jesus said, if anyone would come after him, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow him. They would have to love Jesus more than family or worldly friends or advantages or their own life. Each one would need to continue faithful throughout their life and be aware and avoid all the shortcomings and tragic results that are given as warnings from verse 4 to 19 in Jude. I was made more aware of this situation by a brother's talk at the International Convention last year, which he wished his hearers to be put in remembrance of these things, as Jude also did in verse 5. There has been a couple of articles in the Herald magazine recently with some of these bad examples were explained. And verse 4 in Jude reads, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness." They crept in. It puts me in mind of white ants that creep into a house and eat all the strength out of the timber and leave only the shell. And verse 12 tells us, "They are spots in your face of charity." Some translations have "hidden rocks" or "reefs in your love face." Continuing verse 12, "When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear." Selfishness seems to be the problem here, as other translations emphasise. Another example of the sowing of the good wheat is the good wheat seed, and when the men slept, an enemy came and slept and sowed tares. And the diglot has darnel, not just a weed, but a very similar plant to wheat, which is hard to distinguish from it. If you see the diglot comment on this, it's quite interesting and revealing. Verse 4 concludes, "And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." St. Paul in Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, and ye use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." Jude in verse 5 continues, "I'll put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not." The Knox version of the last part, it says, "went on to destroy those who proved unfaithful." So we each need to remain faithful. Verse 6, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day." St. Peter also mentions the angels that sinned in his second epistle, chapter 2, verse 4, saying they were cast down to hell, but Weymouth has, for hell he has the Tartarus, which is a different word, which seems to be a condition in which they can't materialise like before the flood, but they were active in Jesus' day, possessing people or animals if possible. Peter says they are in chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Maybe some of them will repent at or by that time. 1 Corinthians 6:3 says, "The saints shall judge angels, how much more the things that pertain to this life." Jude 7, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and cities round about gave themselves to fornication and strange flesh, and for an example suffered the vengeance of eternal fire." The diglot has in the word for word part "an example of fire, age-lasting, retributive justice they are undergoing." This must be the right understanding, age-lasting, because Jesus says if the mighty works that had been done in some of the cities of Israel had been done in Sodom, it would have remained to his day, and also it will be more tolerable for them in the day of judgment than for these cities in Israel, Matthew 11:20-24. A similar thing is said also in Ezekiel 16, verse 46-55. Verse 8 of Jude tells of more of their evil ways. They defile the flesh, despise the minions, speak evil of dignitaries or those in authority. Now, verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he was arguing about the body of Moses, did not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." That's quoted from Zechariah 3:2. Moses was buried in Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. In Deuteronomy 34, verse 5 and 6. And he was like Elijah, who disappeared up in a chariot. Enoch was taken, Genesis 5:24, also mentioned in Hebrews 11:5. Jesus' body also disappeared, as it was not there when the tomb was opened. David prophesied in Psalm 16:10, "For thou, God, will not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Verse 10, Jude carries on the warning, saying, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves." Some translations have "what they know by instinct of the fallen nature." In verse 11, "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, or they walked in the steps of Cain." That's a 20th century New Testament translation. It started away back there in Cain's time, soon after creation of man. We can also remember Joseph and how his brothers treated him and sold him as a slave. Jude continues, "They ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward." I remember a sister saying, "Oh, we know about Balaam." Well, I knew of him in general, but not the details. One needs to look deeper. The main details are in Numbers chapters 22 to 24. At a first reading of these, there doesn't seem to be any special evil he had done, except he lost his calm with his donkey that he had ridden for a long time when he had not seen the angel in the way. And that's how it seemed to this one, other writers. St. Peter mentioned this in 2 Peter 2:15. Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Other translations have "fell in love with the profits of wrongdoing and set his heart on dishonest gain." Other scriptures warn us not to trust in uncertain riches. In Numbers chapter 31, it tells of the fight with the Midianites and that Balaam was slain then. And when the women were saved, Moses said, "They caused Israel to sin through the counsel of Balaam." Verse 16. So this was what Balaam did to receive reward, as is explained in Revelation 2:14, in the message to Pergamos. Some hold the doctrine or teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. So each one needs to be aware, awake, and put on the whole armour of God. The end of verse 11. They perished in the gainsaying or rebellion of Kor. This was an uprising against those who God put in authority. Jesus and his apostles' word needs to be held in high regard, as well as the prophets and the writers of the Old Testament who were guided by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:19-21. also the seven angels or messengers to the seven churches, Revelation 1:20. Also he gave leaders for the perfecting of the saints and edifying of the body of Christ, Ephesians 4:11-14. We had before them, in the beginning of verse 12, they were spots on your face feeding themselves. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. If it is a drought time, promising storm clouds are very disappointing if they yield no rain. We are warned in another place not to be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Trees that in season bear no fruit, New English Bible has, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Perhaps twice dead may mean they were dead in Adam, and if they accepted Christ, they still produced no fruit, so were plucked up by the roots. Like the fruitless branches of John 15, verse 2 and 6. Verse 13, raging waves of the sea, flinging up the foam of their shame and disgrace. We had a little experience yesterday with the waves and stirring up the mud in the bottom there, and had to go to a calmer place, didn't we? That was the Amplified version. He says, too, they're wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness or darkness forever. These are like falling stars who have left their course or orbit and burn out, disappearing into the night darkness. Verses 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Enoch was one of God's prophets. Saint, the word saint in both Hebrew and Greek means holy ones. Those led were under the influence of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 2 and 3 tells of this judgment time. This 16th verse tells how they were and how they conducted themselves. They were murmurers, complaining, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. And James in chapter 2, verse 1 to 8, he warns us against having respect of persons because of appearance and using false standards to judge by. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28 to 30, St. Paul gave us warning as he gave the Ephesians to take heed to themselves that after his departure, grievous wolves would enter in, and also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember. Paul also warned Timothy in both his letters of many things that some would not maintain true teaching. He said, Demas had forsaken him, having loved the present evil world. 2 Timothy 4:10, 14, and 15. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, in whom be thou all aware also, for he has greatly withstood our word. Now Jude 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus. Yes, there is warnings from many apostles, St. Paul, James, Peter, St. John in 1 John chapter 2 verse 18 and 19, where he warns of the Antichrist that had gone out from them because they were not of us. We had a reminder of that in the first day of a talk along that line. Jude warns us, in Jude 18, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own ungodly lust. This is saying there will be mockers in the end time, as there was at the beginning. Remember all the accusations that were brought against Jesus' head while on earth, and no doubt they were used throughout the age. These had their own ungodly lusts or desires. Romans 8 verse 9 says, if any man is not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Jude 19, these are they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And Weymouth has, these are men of the world, devoid of the Spirit. Earlier that verse said they separated themselves like Demas, who led the present evil world. Having given all these warnings and situations to be aware of, and all these examples of different ones who had gone astray or opposed the leadings in the correct way and followed evil in one way or another, he changes from a negative warning to a positive encouragement and instruction to his beloved. In verse 20 he says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Knox is interesting in this part. He says, it is for you to, beloved, to make your most holy faith the foundation of your lives. Yes, that's what is needed. It needs to be the foundation of our lives, praying in the Holy Spirit. The 20th century New Testament says, pray under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit to be able to do what verse 21 advises. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. To keep ourselves in the love of God, we need to be aware of and keep ourselves away from the examples and warnings that Jude and others spoke of earlier, and to receive the mercy that is needed to receive eternal life. Because without life, there is nothing. All is lost, all is vain. Each one needs to have mercy, as it exhorted in verse 22. And on some have compassion, making a difference. Some translations have mercy or pity on those who are in doubt. Verse 23, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. There seems to be a difference here in situations. Some here may have got into the fire of trouble by not being careful enough of what they do. There is an old saying, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. This must be the situation here, sometimes, when they realise the situation and hate the spots made by the shortcomings of the flesh. Then it is our responsibility and privilege to help them to the best of our ability. Verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to guard you from stumbling, American Standard Version has, Jesus can guard us and keep us as long as we remain faithful, as verse 21 tells us, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and to present you faultless or without blemish before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. What exceeding joy to be presented by Jesus before the Heavenly Father, complete in him by grace. And the last, verse 25, To the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. May our praise ever be to the majestic wise God, our Saviour. Now just to conclude, Jude started off about the common salvation that is for all mankind, but as he was writing to the call of God, preserved in Jesus Christ and sanctified by God, verse 1, it was needful for him to exhort them to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. That is to follow in Christ's footsteps, to take up their cross and follow him. Because there are many problems present or were developing that he needed to warn them of and they needed to be aware of. He gave many examples from the past of evil occurrences. He warned them that there are certain men who would creep in unawares who abuse the grace or favour of God and of Christ for their own selfish desires. They even feast with you, but they are spots on your face, without fear, like clouds without water. There are so many other examples he gives. He even warns that there would be mockers in the last time, as other apostles also said, like Paul in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 9. Jude advises to be aware of the different situations of verses 22 and 23, to have compassion, mercy, on those who doubt, or hate the spots on their garments. May I suggest that even in the study of the Bible, or especially prophecies, where there is different understandings, that we have wholesome and loving discussions among ourselves. I know it is easier said than done. May God help you all to work out your calling, out his calling by grace. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Henry, for your presentation of the book of Jude, and give us it in a capsule form, so as to speak, like a multivitamin, and going through it. Brother Henry has chosen hymn number 178 to conclude with. Well, I'll read out the first verse and we'll sing the last two for time. I want a principle within of jealous, godly fear, a sensibility of sin, a pain to feel it near. I want the first approach to feel of pride or fond desire, to catch the wanderings of my will and quench the kindling fire. That's hymn number 178. We'll sing verses 2 and 3. Play by. And now, if just like to make the announcement, we'll have the study with Brother Ken Furness in here, Brother Russell Collins next door, just to let you know. The young people can come with me and have some fun. Don't forget your tools of trade, because